The news from QNN is next.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, General John Abizaid, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee. He warned against setting a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq because he said it would hurt the commander's flexibility on the ground. He also told the senators that the situation in Iraq, despite the violence, is, quote, not as bad as back in August, end quote. However, it is still at, quote, unacceptably high levels, end quote. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials now say about 70 of the estimated 150 educators kidnapped yesterday in a brazen raid of a government education building have been released. It is unclear how many are still being held captive. The victims were reportedly taken away in about 20 pickup trucks by armed gunmen dressed in military uniforms. The U.S. military today announced the death of 6 more troops in Iraq, 3 soldiers and 3 Marines who were killed in combat Tuesday. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 20 Iraqis were killed in violence today. On his way to Asia for an 8-day trip, President Bush met with Russian President Vladimir Putin for a quick meeting. At the airport stopover, the two leaders discussed the nuclear disputes with North Korea and Iran. In Washington, the Senate Republicans have chosen their leaders for the new term beginning in January. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell will be the Senate Minority Leader. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott won the number 2 whip position. Convicted former lobbyist Jack Abramoff began his prison sentence today in Western Maryland. He was sentenced to a nearly 6-year term at the minimum security all-male prison for his role in a fraudulent deal involving the purchase of Florida casino ships. At Fort Campbell, Kentucky today, a U.S. soldier pleaded guilty to raping an Iraqi girl and killing her family. He was one of 4 U.S. soldiers accused in the crime. He will avoid the death penalty because of the plea agreement. In southern Israel, a Palestinian rocket fired from the Gaza Strip killed one passerby and critically injured another. Militants affiliated with 2 groups both claimed responsibility for the attack. A confidential UN study shows that Islamic militants in the East African nation of Somalia are getting weapons, training, and financing from Iran, Syria, Libya, Egypt, and the Hezbollah militia in Lebanon. Off the northern Japanese coast, a powerful undersea earthquake struck last night. It prompted tsunami warnings today, which were later canceled. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business News coming up next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
At an international conference on the environment and global warming, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan criticized the United States for a, quote, frightening lack of international leadership on climate change. So far, the United States and Australia are the only 2 major industrialized countries which have rejected the Kyoto Protocol, which aims to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases. U.S. Airways has made an $8 billion bid in cash and stock for Delta Airlines, Delta, which is under bankruptcy protection until next year, has repeated it isn't interested in a takeover and wants to stay independent. The former chairwoman of HP, Patricia Dunn, pleaded not guilty to 4 felony charges today that stemmed from the company's media spying scandal. 27 people have been charged in connection with a $1 billion a year sports gambling ring on the Internet, among those implicated a professional baseball scout. Federal Reserve policymakers remain concerned about inflation, according to records from their most recent meeting in late October. In Industry analysts say upscale U.S. retailers are expecting to see a strong holiday season. They cite the booming stock market as the reason why. Light sweet crude is trading at $58.76 a barrel. And near the close of Wall Street today, once again, the Dow is in new record territory. The Dow is up 34 points at 12,252. The NASDAQ up 12. The S&P 500 up 3. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard another edition of Foxed Up. John Fox coming to you here from Sydney via the Head On Radio Network, bringing you, well, the outsider's view of things. And, well, we're just going to do a bunch of stuff today. And, of course, it deals with, well, the environment. Wonder what the bug up John's butt is. Anyway, Al Gore's in the country down here in Australia again. He was only here 2 months ago. And when he was here 2 months ago, you know, there was a lot of media attention about the fact that he was down here plugging, you know, an inconvenient truth. And Johnny Howard just blew it off and says something to the effect of, "I don't make policy for movie makers." Slightly different situation here, though, Johnny. You know, this is the former vice president and the man who should have been president of the United States of America. Dumbars. But anyway, as in the QNN news talking about Kofi Annan at the UN Climate Change Convention, which this convention is planning out the second stage of Kyoto for 2012 and possibly sooner, from what I'm hearing from a few different people. And I've got a little bit of audio from Al Gore, which we'll get to in a second, but from the what is this, from the Age, we have Annan slams world leaders on climate. Citing a frightening lack of leadership to tackle climate change, UN Chief Kofi Annan today demanded world leaders give global warming the same priority as they did to wars and to curbing the spread of weapons of mass destruction. Annan made the call in a valedictory speech to an annual international gathering of environment ministers, blah, blah, blah. The UN Secretary General said the Kyoto Protocol was only a crucial step in tackling the carbon pollution which causes global warming, but that step is far too small. As we consider how to go further still, there remains a frightening lack of leadership. And this is, this is one of the keys to it. We've had no leadership, zero, zero, zero leadership on this issue in most of our governments. And, you know, the United States and Australia are the last two holdouts on Kyoto, and You know, it's wake up time. It's seriously, you know, or way past wake up time. I mean, I don't know if you've heard, but we've had a massive cold snap here. You know, we're going into summertime here, and yesterday the temperature just did this massive drop. We ended up with snow in the mountains of Victoria, in places where the ski lodges didn't even get snow during the season this year. We have 300-meter glaciers floating not far off the coast of New Zealand. You know, there's a lot of weirdness going on. There's a whole lot of weirdness going on. But I think one of the things that actually affected or caused Al Gore to come down is I was mentioning that the Sunrise program down here in Australia on the 7 Network has taken on a campaign called Cool the Globe. And via what started out as a simple petition over rebates on solar panels has really stirred the grassroots Australians to say, you know, regardless of politics, this is the most important issue that we face. And John Howard has been forced to take a massive 180 turn. And, you know, he said yesterday that he now wants to be the leader in climate change. And watching a comedy program, The Glass House, last night, Will Anderson said, isn't that like, you know, saying, have you caught this great new comedy show I've been watching, you know, Family Ties? Just a little bit late, Johnny. Just a little bit late. Now, Al Gore's down here not only to promote his film, but also to train and teach Australians how to do his presentation that he's been doing all these years. And in fact, I believe that there are 85 of them. So I've got this audio from the City Morning Herald's video page. Agnes, if you want to go ahead and run that, this is a story that ran last night.
Al Gore has become an international celebrity following the release of his movie The Inconvenient Truth. It's essentially a computer presentation turned blockbuster, taking $35 million US dollars worldwide. The former US Vice President is visiting Australia for the second time this year.
Australia and the United States are still, unfortunately, the Bonnie and Clyde of the climate crisis, the only two advanced nations that have been pulling in the wrong direction. And if Australia joins the rest of the world community and joins the Kyoto process, doesn't go its own way in coming up with some other approach, then the United States would truly have to change. And that would make all the difference.
This time around, he's here to pass on presenting skills to others so they can deliver his climate change presentation. Al Gore is personally training 85 Australians to deliver his presentation. They'll be called climate messengers and deliver it back to their communities. Al Gore's Climate Messengers project is in partnership with the Australian Conservation Foundation.
There you go. You know, I think Al Gore may have found something better than politics to move a message forward. David Kosh on the Sunrise program interviewed him this morning, and he was so impressed with the Sunrise program's Cool the Globe campaign that he has requested Channel 7 to give him a compilation of the segments so that he can bring it back to American Breakfast TV and see if maybe he can get something similar started. Because it has made a huge difference here. It is, you know, the fact that this program every single day has done some story on conservation, the effects of global warming, you know, pressuring the government on both sides to move forward on these issues has really been effective. So we're about to go out to our first break. If you want to get in on the show, you can ring in at 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Love to get your comments. I've got more on Al Gore and some other things with Australia and the environment. We also have our track of the day, which will be from the one, the only, Midnight Oil. And I think this is one of their best tracks that they've ever done, in my mind, and it's actually something from later in their catalog. So we're going to hit this first break here, and back straight after these little messages.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For most of my life, I lived a delusion. Yes, the cheerio game has caused me confusion.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Hey, yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from the inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing@irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
Whenever your phone could look you in the eye, you're just like an angel, and your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world, so very special. I wish I was special. But I'm a creep.
That one goes out to Mr. Johnny Howard. And how's that for a bit of a spin on Radiohead? That's a guy by the name of Frank Bennett, taking the character name, well, from Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra. And this guy has a big band, and he does nothing but big band reworks of popular rock tunes. And he's just he's a funny guy, and he's one hell of a performer, I got to tell you. I've worked a couple of gigs with him, and he's just an absolute riot. Before we get to our track of the day, which I have a little bit of background information, a little bit more from the Sydney Morning Herald, and the title of this article, I love this, "Just Wait for a More Convenient Truth," urges the Prime Minister. I mean, how bad is this an example of not getting the point? I want a more convenient truth? God, it drives me crazy, but it says the Prime Minister, John Howard, is proposing his own inconvenient truth after finding the movie of the same name not of his liking. An inconvenient truth starring former U.S. Vice President Al Gore showed a degree of the peeved politician with constant jibes at the Bush administration, Mr. Howard said yesterday. He urged Australians who think nuclear power is a horrific thought to consider the forthcoming report, which is all being done by pro-nuke people, which is expected to find that nuclear power will become more economical as the cost of reducing greenhouse emissions make coal-fired electricity more expensive. Dumb, stupid, blind. I mean, John Howard is the kind of politician who will never be wrong. This is his big failing. He'll never be wrong. He'll never admit to being wrong. He'll never be swayed by facts that pull him away from an idealism that just seems to be very, 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 very misguided. You know, he says about global warming, it's not going to overwhelm us tomorrow. We're not going to drown in the sea in a couple weeks' time. We have to be sensible and measured and calm in our response. You're a jackass, Mr. Howard. That's all I can say. You're a jackass. But I'm going to move on to our track of the day. Because, well, I feel like it. And it's my show. It's my hour. Anyway, today we're gonna bring something from the great Australian band Midnight Oil. And Peter Garrett, the singer, is now actually a member of Parliament. And everything that I hear from sources tell me that he's doing a fine job. And, I mean, this is a guy who wore his politics on his sleeve. Well, the whole band did. I mean, Beds Are Burning was all about reconciliation and saying, you know, I'm sorry with the Aboriginals. But just a little bit of background information from songfacts.com. The song we're going to listen to today is a song called Blue Sky Mine off their 20,000 Watt RSL album. And here it says, the song refers to the Wittenoom asbestos mine in Western Australia, where blue asbestos was mined between 1947 and 96. The once thriving town is now a virtual ghost town. Shops are boarded up, the two schools are closed, the local cinema is a derelict. In their ignorance, the original settlers used asbestos in gardens, schoolyards, and roads. Wittenoom is without a doubt Australia's greatest industrial disaster and is estimated that 25% of the 20,000 men who mined asbestos there will die from related diseases. And apparently Blue Sky Mining was based on a book called Blue Murder, written by a sufferer of asbestos illness. Even today, the people in charge of the company and the mine are holding back compensation and support for the miners who are suffering from the blue asbestos. And not only that, they moved their headquarters from being an Australian outfit to, it's, I can't think, but they went way up north somewhere as a way to, I think, you know, cover their arse, as we say. And it says here, hence the lines in the song, the balance sheet is breaking up the sky. The company is making a huge profit while the miners are caught at the junction still waiting for medicine. I've lived up north in Pilbara all my life. I've traveled all over in Australia, and very few places match the area's beauty, says one of the commenters on this on songfacts.com. So without further ado, from 20,000 watt RSL, Blue Sky Mine, Midnight Oil. Hit it, Agnes.
You, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head-On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Welcome back to Foxed Up, and that would be Australia's Skyhooks. And there's a band that never made it to the U.S. because, well, the U.S. record label said the Americans won't get it. That was a song written around the Vietnam War. It's a horror movie right there on my TV, off an album called Living in the 70s, which if you can find it, I would definitely suggest picking it up. And one of the guitar players in that band, a guy by the name of yeah, Agnes says we get it. Yeah, I know, we're always selling the American audiences short on some of these things. But Red Simons, the one of the guitar players, is now a radio host in Melbourne and is kind of a bit of a minor celebrity. And you know, this is a band that kind of did a bit of the costume and makeup routine and that kind of thing. But you just come up, you find interesting things out. You know, old Red Simons is actually an honored mathematician, you know, and a smart and very, very nice guy. He's got this reputation for being a jerk, but it's all play and show because I worked with Red a few years back on a production of the Rocky Horror Show where he played the narrator. And boy, did I find out that the image was completely false. He's just a very, very smart guy, very, very well-thought guy, and a biting sense of humor. And don't tell him he can't smoke somewhere. That's all I'll tell you. But anyway, back to the battle between Johnny Howard and Al Gore. Gore automatically slams Howard back on his, you know, other Kyoto idea, you know, and it says here, again from the Sydney Morning Herald, greenhouse alternative will fail, says Gore. John Howard's promotion of a new global climate change pact that would protect Australia's economic interests is unrealistic and likely to fail, the former U.S. President Al Gore says. If Australia this month to train climate change presenters, Mr. Gore yesterday urged the Prime Minister to join negotiations taking place in Nairobi on a tougher second phase of the Kyoto Protocol on climate change. If Australia's proposal is not part of the rest of the world community, then it has no meaningful force. This is a key point. If the proposition is that Australia will design a completely different greenhouse gas emissions trading system and then wait until the rest of the world abandons the main one and adopts the Australian one, it's probably not realistic. Joining the process now in Nairobi and seeking some modifications to Kyoto, that is entirely proper. Mr. Howard said on Monday he would form a task force to consider a global carbon trading scheme to help tackle climate change. His own greenhouse office has researched and made recommendations on emissions trading in papers dating as far back as 1999, but they have been ignored by the government. Yesterday, the Prime Minister met with business leaders, including Don Argus from BHP, Oscar Groeneveld from Rio Tinto Aluminum, and Colin Beckett from Chevron Oil, to discuss emissions trading. It appears scientists, energy experts, environmentalists will not be consulted, although they have been long-term supporters of such a global scheme. Sounds like we're gonna load up the process again. This is not open debate. This is not discussion. This is just railroading what they want. I mean, it's just... And, you know, however, Mr. Howard has warned he would not support any scheme that would damage Australia's fossil fuel sector or energy intensive industries such as aluminum, steel, and cement. Nor would he take part in any global agreement that did not set tough emission reduction targets for developing nations such as China and India. Hello! Again, Howard, you're a jackass. These countries didn't create the problem. It's the nations that created the problem that need to lead the way. Or else, what weight does any of this have? And Mr. Gore agreed it was vital that future heavy polluters such as China and India dramatically cut their emissions, but since the end of World War II, every global treaty has had the same basis. The wealthy countries go first, and then those nations, if their per capita incomes are so much lower than those of the developed world, they come along in a second phase. Which makes sense. On Tuesday, the French Prime Minister, Dominique de Villepin, threatened to tax imports from countries that had not committed themselves to the second phase of the Kyoto Protocol. Europe has to use all its weight to stand up to this sort of environmental dumping, he said. And I think that this is good stuff. This is all very, very, very good stuff. And I really, I hope that, you know, if Al goes back to the U.S. with, you know, a compilation of video from the Sunrise program showing what has actually happened just due to a morning news show taking a nonpartisan, factual look at global warming, greenhouse gas emissions, you know, renewable sources of energy. It has given strength to the grassroots community that was already fighting for all these things. You know, we've seen polls here in Australia that Australians would pay more for basic services and even higher taxes to turn this mess around. So the people want it. And you know, this seems to be the mess of modern government, that our representatives don't seem to give a rat's patoot about what the people actually think or want. And, you know, so much for, you know, representative government. But, you know, I really think that the tide is finally beginning to turn. Public pressure on all sides is bringing this right to the forefront, where it needs to be. You're right there, Agnes. The reason that they don't do it is it would cut into their, you know, into their dividends, into their support money. It dumbfounds me, you know. This is a perfect example of, you know, Howard can never be wrong. You know, he won't sign on to Kyoto, but we'll write another one, and then everybody can join us. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. You know? I think, you know, if we can continue to keep this in the forefront, and I think just Mother Nature is going to keep it in the forefront regardless, because, I mean, the weather just continues to get kind of more and more mad. You know, the drought here is just never ending. And I've heard, interestingly enough, that there's some discussion between the states here to actually buy out the largest cotton plantation in Australia and shut it down so that they can redistribute the water to more viable crops. And I think that that is a very, very smart move, because, you know, a desert island nation, continent, growing rice and cotton. Why? You know? Asia's only bloody, you know, a boat ride away. There's plenty of rice. You know, a lot of hard choices to be made. And, you know, these changes are going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. But it doesn't mean that it's not possible, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be trying as hard as we can to reduce the impact of, you know, the way we run our societies. And our news ninja sent me a story yesterday, and I might talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, but one of the green sites posted a story that possibly the greatest invention for climate change and global warming could be the condom. Think about that. Because every one of us individually doesn't necessarily do all that much damage. In fact, on a person-to-person level, you know, it's not much difference. However, it's the fact that we are so overpopulated on this planet that collectively we're burning the place up. You know, so, you know, I get really frustrated with the Australian government here, because they're constantly on these campaigns trying to get women to have babies. And I know that that's on the guise that, you know, to keep the economy going, we're going to need workers and we're going to need consumers. But we have to rethink how we run our economies, because this kind of runaway industrialized capitalism is not sustainable. I mean, this is what has been proven. You know, the only way a lot of these companies can stay in business is by doing damage. And I'm sorry, I'm at the point now. If you can't do it sustainably, you're not viable. You shouldn't be in business. Period. End of story. All right, folks, we're going to take our last break before we finish up this bit of the green hour, which is foxed up. I really just am hoping that the wave will continue to rush forward on bringing all of this as the number one issue. And I think Kofi Annan is right in telling, you know, developed leaders that, hey, you know, you got to get on this like you go drooling for war, folks. It needs the same kind of concentration. Because, well, when America puts its mind to something, it can sure push something through, even if it's wrong. How about doing it for something that's right? So anyway, you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to take our last break for the afternoon and close it up. So we'll see you straight after this.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
Come to me, my darling.
Mark Lazat, Australia's Diesel. What a guitar player. What a voice. And what a nice guy. Anyway, and please look up Diesel and the Injectors, his original band. You'll love the early stuff. But we've got a caller on the line. Susan, line one. Come on.
Hi, Sarah.
How you doing, Susan?
Hanging in there. I just have a little brief comment.
Sure.
The world is going to take care of the environment, or it's going to find out firsthand the meaning of the term Malthusian solution. And that ain't pretty. It's otherwise known, for those people who haven't read it, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
You're not wrong. You are not wrong. It is ugly. And to have people like John Howard say, it's not going to happen tomorrow. Well, we know it's not going to happen tomorrow. We've been saying that for decades, but actually it's already happening, mate.
Yeah. And it's not a matter of just, this is not going to happen tomorrow. No, but you have to start fixing it. Like you were talking about icebergs floating around, close to Australia. Okay, those icebergs calved off of a glacier that was created millions of years ago.
Yeah.
Geologic time is very, very slow, and it's time to start fixing it now, or the planet will fix it for you. And if you want to look at what it's like in its most extreme example, take a good look at what Venus is like.
Ooh, good point.
Yeah, that's out of control greenhouse gas.
Absolutely. And I just still am blown away that there are still people out there and people in power that seem to be able to keep the reality at an arm's distance.
Mm-hmm.
And I know quantum mechanics says that we create our own reality, but I mean, seriously, that reality is crashing up against everybody else's reality. There needs to be some effect there, because it's just, they're way too slow on the uptake. And Jimmy Carter, I'm sorry, was so right in the 70s, and if we had taken his lead back then, we would be in a completely different situation than we are in today.
That's why he is one of my most revered presidents, because he was not only a truly honorable, he's not only a truly honorable man, but also he's a very, very visionary one. I keep trying to say was. He's still here.
Well, yeah, and the other thing too is I always like to put this comparison up. When you compare ex-presidents and what they do after they get out of office, Jimmy Carter has been doing the Habitat for Humanity thing for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And building free homes for people. Clinton has it Somalia that he's got his big kind of push to try and fix some things? But then you look at the Republican ex-presidents, they all go back to making money and making war.
Right. I do know for a fact that Jimmy Carter didn't go out and start pushing paper either. He went out almost to the day after he got out of office and literally picked up the hammer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Blew me away. Here's this ex-president with his security detail, because they weren't going to go away that soon. And he's out there mm-hmm. with a stupid hammer building houses.
That's a leader, and it's amazing. It really is amazing the just distortion of the man in the eyes of the general public and the media. regardless of what you might have thought of him as president at the time, he's proved to be, one, right, and second, to be pretty righteous. He's the kind of born again Christian I can handle, you know, because he lets it guide him towards a positive life and trying to help others and you know, doing things for your fellow man, which I think is actually what the whole religion's supposed to be about. I don't know when, you know, hate and destruction all kind of got put into the mix. But, he put solar panels on the White House, which Ronnie Reagan ripped off first thing he got in. I think you can see who cares and who doesn't.
Yeah. He is far and away, even among, as far as I know, even among the Democrats, he is the only truly honorable president we've ever had.
I have to agree with you. And like I said, you know, the fact that, you know, and you said it, you know, he got out of office and the first thing he did was, okay, I can't help the nation and people anymore as president. I can now do what I can as a private citizen, and goes out there with a hammer and starts building homes that poor people can own.
Yeah, I loved him to death when he was in office, and I love him still.
Yeah, and you know, I grew up in a real right-wing household, so, you know, I was fed the Kool-Aid on him for a long, long time, and it took my grand awakening for me to have a second look at him and realize how wrong I was and how blind I was to you know, someone who really was a good man and still is. You know, and you know, he goes and monitors elections all over the world, and you know, he's got his heart and his mind in the right place. It's
anyway,
and we
to the top of the hour, but I just wanted to bring up the Malthusian thing and Venus, because people, if we don't fix it, the planet will fix it for us, and we won't like it.
Nope, we're not gonna. There are bad things on the horizon if we don't get moving quick. And Susan, thank you so much for ringing in. I really appreciate it. All right, you have a great night. All right, folks, we're just about up on top of it, and so we got to run the credits as usual. The program was produced by the slightly drug-addled Agnes, who is still suffering double pneumonia and refuses to get the rest that she needs. Everyone email her and tell her, sleep, dear, sleep. also, always thank you to Peter Gobble, the Gobble Computers, for keeping the bits running in the home studio and elsewhere. The Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters for making everything on the horn possible. Mr. Scott Barry at B1 Louder Productions in Sydney for all the music, our mods in the chat room, our news ninjas, and thank you, Gene. You've been sending me such great stories, and I didn't even get to my bus driver story. I'll try and remember that tomorrow. Stick around. I believe it's Wednesday night, so that means it's Bear Meeting Edition. Get ready. Pull up a pew. It's time for Brother Bob to go after the religion industry, and shortly after that, my best mate, Bruce Birch, will take you through the evening. So thanks for joining me again, folks. Remember, you can drop me a line at John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Love to hear from you. Send us your stories. Tell me what you're doing in your own community to make a difference, you know, because, I mean, it seriously is, you know, that think globally, act locally thing really, really is it. That is it. So with that, this is it. Thanks for joining me, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey.
If you start me up, if you start me up, we'll never stop. If you start me up, turn me up, if you start me up, we'll never stop. I've been running hard, running hard, but you got me ticket full of overtime. Start me up, baby, start me up, we'll never stop.
make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Grab the oil, the gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So let's start it up.
Start it up.
Well, the start again, all you got. I can't compete.
Can't be.
With the rising reality. Even rough it up.
Rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
Stay tuned for Quality News Network at the time.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, General John Abzaei, the top U.S. commander in the Middle East, appeared before the Senate Armed Services Committee. He raised the possibility that more U.S. troops, at least temporarily, may be needed in Iraq. Abzaei also warned against setting a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops because he said it would hurt the commander's flexibility on the ground. The New York Times reports that some former military leaders who were against the Iraq war now say that a quick pullout of American troops from Iraq, such as within 4 to 6 months, as some Democratic leaders have advocated, will most likely accelerate the descent into civil war in Iraq rather than stop it. The U.S. military today announced the deaths of 6 more troops in Iraq, 3 soldiers and 3 Marines who were killed in combat Tuesday. At least 40 U.S. troops have been killed so far this month. Elsewhere in Iraq, at least 20 Iraqis were killed in violence today, including 2 Iraqi journalists. In Baghdad, Iraqi officials now say about 70 of the estimated 150 educators kidnapped yesterday in a brazen raid of a government education building have been released. It is unclear how many are still being held captive. The victims were reportedly taken away in about 20 pickup trucks by armed gunmen dressed in commando uniforms. On his way to Asia for an 8-day trip, President Bush met with Russian President Vladimir Putin for a quick meeting. At the airport stopover, the two leaders discussed the nuclear disputes with North Korea and Iran. A Kremlin spokesman confirmed a bilateral agreement has been reached between Washington and Moscow, and Russia will enter the World Trade Organization. That agreement will be signed at the Pacific Rim Economic Summit in Hanoi at the end of the week. In Washington, the Senate Republicans have chosen their leaders for the new term beginning in January. Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell will be the Senate Minority Leader. Mississippi Senator Trent Lott won the number 2 whip position. Convicted former lobbyist Jack Abramoff began his prison sentence today in Western Maryland. He was sentenced to a nearly 6-year term at the minimum security all